we'll be talking about what child is this? And if you have a smartphone, and some of you think your phone is smart, but it really isn't. If it's like mine, it's not that smart. But if you do have a smartphone, you can use that this morning to follow along, get the scripture references, and have them for yourself to do that. Also, the reason for these, of course, for these handouts is so that you can remember. You know, it is important to remember what God has to say about these things. So if you could take your notes and follow and fill in the blanks and then take them with you and look up the scriptures yourself and think about what God has to say this Christmas season, this would be great. And we provide these things for that reason, so that it will become a part of your life. And these things are significant. These are the words of God. This is the message of God, and it's very important that we make it a part of our life, because it has that transforming power through the Holy Spirit to change us and make us different. So before we do, I'd like you just to wish each other Merry Christmas, so don't shout it across the aisle. Why don't you get up and greet one another, wish them a Merry Christmas, because you may not see them until after Christmas. Well, we have the place a little bit decorated. Did you see that this morning? Yeah, we want to thank Gail and her team of people, Gail Barrett and her team, for putting this all together for us. Festive, yes. And also we wanted to let you know that all the decorations that are around here, after the service is over, not before, but after, you can take them with you. They're all up for grabs. How about the tree? Okay, so the trees, if you haven't gotten a tree yet, we're here for you. We just want you to know that. Okay, so the trees, except for the little one. And what about the little stuffed animals? Oh. You guys, aren't you glad you came to church this morning? So all the things that are here, you can take and take with you, and we appreciate if you would. Oh, and there's stuff in the back table, too. So all of those things, the plants, I mean, there is so much here. Yeah, the drums and the instruments are definitely not, okay? Just want to be clear. All right. Well, this morning we're talking, of course, about Jesus. Isn't that a surprise? Jesus, who came to earth as a baby boy. And this child that we're talking about this morning, that's a lot of times, many people, that's all they think about when they think of the Christmas story, is a little baby with a bunch of farm animals, right? Yeah. And that's about it. And the rest is sale at Target or something like that, where we've gotten so far away from the traditions of what this season is about that I thought we'd talk about this child. What child is this? It's an old way of saying, who is this child? And I wanted to take your notes out. The first point I want to make this morning, he's no ordinary child. He looks very ordinary, but he's no ordinary child. First thing, he didn't have an ordinary birth. There was actually a prophecy written about him hundreds of years before he was born, telling of how he would come into the world. And it's found in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And think about this as we read this, or as you look at this in your Bibles. It says, at the right time, the Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and he will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. Now, usually when you, ladies, I understand when you are pregnant, you kind of know, usually. And you go to the doctor to get confirmation. And when you go to the doctor, he says, you are pregnant, right? That didn't happen to Mary. Actually, Mary had an angel show up at her place. And the angel says, you're going to be pregnant. And she's going, what? And he described what was going to happen to her. In fact, in Luke chapter 1, verse 30, it starts with this. It says, don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God, and you will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus, and he will be very great, and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. Mary asked the angel, but how can this happen? I'm a virgin. Now, this child, angels broke into song for him. Also, they had foreign dignitaries that showed up at their place after traveling probably 2 years to find him, following a beautiful large star. And they came and gave him gifts of gold, of frankincense and myrrh, which were very expensive, to honor him. And all of this happened to this child, to this family, and the woman wasn't even, she had never had any relations with any man. It was quite controversial for her, because the way things worked in those days, you didn't live together before you got married. And you weren't pregnant before you got married. And so this was kind of scandalous, actually. So that when Mary was pregnant, Joseph knew it wasn't him. And he didn't know what to do about it. And so we have another angel show up and tell Joseph it's okay, because this child is different. She didn't have any relationships with some other man, but she is pregnant, and God has done a miracle in your body. This child that will be born will not only be an ancestor, or have his ancestor as David the king, but he will be called Emmanuel, which means God is with us. And this says so much. Just that statement says so much that God is with us. And as time goes on, we find more and more things about Jesus. His family tree was like no other. Now, my uncle, we go to him to find our ancestry because he's been researching where our family came from. Every time I go to a doctor and I see a new doctor, he says, so, where is that name from? You ever have anybody say, so where'd your name come from? And is that, you know, because Kes Keys, I don't know how hard that is, but it doesn't seem hard to me to say Kes, K-E-S, Keys, K-E-Y-S, right? Kes Keys. Where do you get the R in there? Kerskets. Kes Ketsipis. You go, what? So what is that? Is that Russian, you know, or some other thing? I said, no. My uncle does ancestry tree, and he's researched this, and we come from Wales, the country of Wales, and we can trace our ancestry back. And some of you might have an ancestry that you can trace back hundreds and hundreds of years. And even have a crest of some kind or some famous ancestor. It goes way back. But this is an interesting prophecy that was made actually hundreds of years before Jesus was born and is found in Micah chapter 5, verse 2. And it says, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old. From ancient times. Now, It says, and this is the interesting about his tree, family tree, he'll be from the clan of Ephrathah, which is a part of the tribe of Judah. So you have these large family groups of Ephrathah, which is a small one, he says. Of all the clans in Judah, the tribe of Judah, this is one of the small ones. But the thing that's interesting, he says, is that he will also be from ancient past. So ancient, you have to go back before even time begins. In one translation, it says from eternity. Now, that's kind of an interesting, family tree, to where you go back, and then you go, before even Adam began, my tree started. So there's something very different about this child. He has a different ancestry. In fact, the Bible reveals that this baby is one of a kind. He is one of a kind. In John chapter 1, the first verse, it says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God, and God created everything through him, and nothing was created except through him. The Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Now we drop down to verse 9, and it says, the one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. And verse 14, so the Word became human and made his home among us. And he was full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. So this child invaded his creation. He entered into the world. And he was unique in that he was a human being, and he was also God at the very same time. He was the God-man. There is no other God-man. Now, these things are astonishing by any standards. But you wouldn't know this by looking at him. Because as you looked at this baby, he looked like every other baby would look. There was no seven toes. There was no deformities. There was no glow. You know, you see some of these pictures of the baby. He didn't glow and have these little rays of light coming from him. No, you wouldn't know any of that was the case. You would say, this is just an ordinary baby born to a peasant girl from her husband's from the tribe of Judah in a little town called Bethlehem. Now, in order to get to know who this baby really is, to go past that, you have to kind of fast forward until you get past the shepherds, past the magi, the wise men coming, past the baby in the crib or in the cradle, actually the manger, which is the feeding trough, there, the stable, the dirty stable, and you have to move past that to when he is alive, working and doing these things that he came to do. Now, what are these things this child came to do that makes him so significant? Number one, in your notes, it says, this child came to reconnect you. Reconnect you. See, the fact is that your natural state is war with God. In Romans 8:7, it says, for the sinful nature is always hostile to God. It never did obey God's laws, and it never will. What is God saying here? It's kind of like, if I can use this illustration, it's kind of like a teenager who no longer wants to follow the rules of the house. I know that never happens in this community of people here. But I've heard of it. And They want to live by their own rules. And so they have been, there's been a war of words. There's been a warfare between you and them all this time until it comes to a head and they no longer want to follow your rules, no longer follow the law of the house. And so they break away. And there's a disconnect. There's this ripping apart. There's a separation that has taken place. Now, we're all like that. We're separated from God. We have walked away and done our own thing. And there are a lot of things we've done without God's input. We don't want his advice. We don't want him to tell us what to do. We want to do it ourselves. And it's gotten us in a lot of trouble. Our lives are a real mess. But God says, I don't care what you've done. I still want you back. That's where Jesus comes in. Jesus was sent to earth, and he came in human form so that he could get us back to God. Because there was no way that rift could be healed. There was no way that rift could be repaired. We were disconnected, and there was no way to get connected again. Now that, in the Bible, the theological term for it is reconciliation. There's no way we can be reconciled back to God. That's what the story is about. That's part of what this is all about, is that Jesus came to reconnect you to God. Now, you can't do this on your own. You need someone to help you make peace. See, there's too much that separates you. And there's a gap, there's a gulf, there's a chasm between you and God. And there's no way that you could bridge that gap, that separation, that chasm that's between you. You ever felt that with some people? There's just this big, huge gulf between you and them, and you just can't bridge it? It just, say one word and, oh, we got World War III again. It's kind of like that. We could not get back. We could not please God, and he could not please us. We were at odds. So because he loved us, he sent his son. In Colossians chapter 1, it puts it like this, verse 19. For God in all his fullness was pleased to live in Christ, and through him God reconciled everything to himself. He made peace with everything in heaven, on earth, by means of Christ's blood and on the cross. This includes you who were once far away from God. You were his enemies, separated from him by your evil thoughts and actions. Yet now he has reconciled you to himself through the death of Christ in his physical body. As a result, he has brought you into his own presence, and you are holy and blameless as you stand before him without a single fault. It's through Jesus, this baby in the manger who grows up, through him you can have peace with God. Now, we were created for relationship. And preeminently, the highest form of relationship that we were destined and made for is a relationship with God. But when you sinned, when I sinned, when Adam and Eve sinned, that relationship was broken. Broken relationships are pictures of what sin does. It breaks things. It ruins things. But God didn't give up on you. Even though the relationship was broken and he knew what you had done, in fact, no matter what you've done, who you've hurt, or how many bridges you've burned, God still wants to bridge that gap and build that bridge back again and build a relationship with you. He loved you so much that he sent his son Jesus so that can be done, that you can be reconnected with him. Romans 5:1 says this, "Therefore, since we have been made right in God's sight by faith, we have peace with God because of what Jesus Christ our Lord has done for us." Here's a question for you. Have you experienced the peace that comes from being reconnected with God? See, God wants that for every person. There's a peace. There's a sense of being settled, and it's hard to put into words. When you know that you are right with God, when you're right with God, everything else seems to come together. The next thing that this child came to do, he came to rescue you. He came to rescue you. In fact, that's what his name means. In Matthew chapter 1, verse 21, it says, "And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." In other words, he will rescue them. Now, did you know that you can't solve all your problems? Sooner or later, you're going to find out that you cannot solve all your problems. If you could, you would have done it by now. Does that make any sense to you? Okay? So, you've probably tried over and over and over again to solve them, but it takes more than you to solve them and to fix these problems. You need a savior. You need a rescuer. And God sent us a rescuer for the very first Christmas. Every person on this planet is enslaved to sin. The Christmas story is history's ultimate rescue mission. Jesus came to earth to set us free from the sin that enslaves us. You see, some problems in our lives can't be solved by trying harder. Have you noticed that? There's some things you just can't fix, you can't overcome, you can't beat by yourself. I know that's true. And you need someone other than yourself to help you. And Jesus is that person. He is the rescuer. Psalm 50, verse 15 says this, "Then call on me when you are in trouble, and I will rescue you, and you will give me glory." See, one of the things you have to do if you're going to let him be your rescuer is that you have to trust him. You have to trust him. That's a big step for some of us. Some of us are used to controlling everything in our lives. We want to manage and control everything. You know, that doesn't mix well with trust. They're not compatible. And when you try to control things and try to make things happen and try to fix things and they just don't work, you have to come to a place where you say, "I can't do it. And I'm going to have to trust Jesus." Until you can trust him, he can't save you. He's not going to be able to save you because he can't let you control, because you can't fix it, and you have to give him free rein to fix it. So if you trust Jesus, he will set you free. He will rescue you from whatever dominates you. It's why he came. From what do you need to be rescued? What do you need to be freed of? Let me say this. Don't let fear and don't let shame keep you from reaching out in trust to Jesus. There's a story in the Bible about a man named Naaman who was a general in ancient Syria. And he had a disease that was incurable at that time, and there was nothing he could do to fix it. It dominated his life. It was the main thing in his life, and he couldn't get rid of it. He couldn't beat it. There was no doctor that could help him, and he was at the mercy of this disease. And he heard one day of a prophet of God who could help him. And so he went to see this prophet. And this prophet said, God says to you, this is how you're going to be healed. This is how this is going to be beaten. You have to go into the Jordan River and dunk down 7 times. He was very proud. And the Jordan River was a dirty, muddy river, as far as he was concerned. And he was of high birth. He was very famous in his nation. He was a very competent person. He was a man of stature and position. And to dunk himself in the water was just idiotic, as far as he was concerned. In fact, this prophet guy never even came to the door. He had a servant come to the door. And that was just a little bit outrageous. And then he asked me to go to the River Jordan and duck myself 7 times. I'm out of here. And his servant said, no, you need to just give him a chance. Just do what he says. Trust what he says. Trust him. This is what God says. Trust God. It will happen if you'll trust him. Just do what he says. Follow the directions. So what did he do? 1, nothing. 2, oh, this is a waste of time. 3, I can't believe I'm doing this. 4, oh, my God. 6, I knew this wouldn't work. 7, whoa, it's gone. See, part of this trusting God is that you have to do what he says. No matter what your reservation is. And the thing is, if you don't do what he says to do, that's part of trusting him. If you don't do what he says to do, it won't work. You have to release the control and give it to him. No matter what you think is going to happen, no matter what the consequences may be, you need to trust him and follow his directions. So this Christmas could be one of the most significant days in your life. You need to pray and ask God to rescue you and trust him with the results and follow his directions specifically that he has for you. Next, this child came to recover you. He came to recover you. The Bible says in Luke 19, and this is Jesus speaking, he says, for the Son of Man, that's another name he used, and this is why he came. He came to seek and to save those who are lost. And this is another reason we celebrate Christmas, is that Jesus is the one who comes and has sought us out because we were lost. Now, when you're lost, there are certain things that happen. There's certain results that take place in your life. And I'm going to just go talk a couple of them here. What do you lose without Jesus? When Jesus is not in your life, what do you lose? Well, Jesus used a couple stories to talk about this, what it means to be lost. And the first thing is that he uses the parables or illustrations of sheep and also of a son, a lost sheep and a lost son. Now, in the story of the lost sheep, we find that one of the things you lose when you are away from the shepherd or away from Jesus, you lose direction. The Bible says, we all like sheep have gone astray. Each has turned to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. See, sheep don't intend to get lost. They just get lost. It's just their natural tendency to do that. Now, I'm not going to point out anybody, but I know some people who are directionally challenged. Do you know what that means? They couldn't follow a map if the life depended on it. And they're always, I've had experience with this from time to time. I think when I was born, there was that part of the brain that just did not grow. And the sense of direction is not there. I've tried to find it many times, but I got lost trying to find it. And I've had times where I try to trick myself. Because, see, I'd be going direction, I think it's this way. But you know what? I always choose the wrong way. So I'm going to choose this way. And I choose this way, and I go this way, and I'm lost again. Because I chose the wrong way. This was the right way this time. So it doesn't matter. I'm always lost. I don't intend to get lost. But it's a natural thing for me to get lost. When we don't have the Lord, we think we're making great choices. We think we're making great progress. But it's always in the wrong direction. You're lost. You have no sense of direction. You don't have idea of where you're supposed to be going. And when Jesus is not in your life, you lose your sense of direction. Next, your protection. You lose your protection. Sheep have no natural defense system. So a sheep without a shepherd is in danger. Now that sounds like us. The Bible says, therefore the people wander like sheep, oppressed for lack of a shepherd. Without a relationship with God, we are vulnerable to stress, and we're in danger of so many things that we're not even aware of. I remember watching this show. It was some kind of a news program, and this guy had some sheep in his field, but they were very special sheep. They were fearful because they knew if anyone or anything tried to attack them, they couldn't defend themselves. So this is how they reacted. If you came up to them and went, boo, they start to run, but they can't. They get paralyzed and they blah. And it was the weirdest thing. You saw this field of sheep and this guy went in there and he says, ha! And they went, oh. Blah, 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 blah. Paralyzed with fear and defenseless. The fact is, the enemy of your soul you cannot beat. He is like a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And you have no defense against him. You're like a sheep with no protection because without the shepherd, you're defenseless. Here's another thing you lose. You lose your happiness. And this is a story that Jesus used, the parable of the lost son, where the son wanted his inheritance. He was going to have fun. He was going to enjoy his life. And he said, give me my money and I'm out of here. And he left. Now, after the son left his father's care and began to go his own way, it didn't take long for him to become miserable and lonely. And there's a lot of miserable people out in this world who are choosing to go their own way and not God's way. And they're disconnected from their Father in heaven. And if you do decide to go your own way, sooner or later, you'll lose your happiness. It always happens that way. You think you're going to be so happy, but without God, happiness doesn't stay around. Number four, you lose your future. You lose your future. God lets us rebel while we're here on earth, but there are no rebels in heaven. Preparing for the next life is the best use of this time here on earth. And God gives us our way. If we want to live without him on earth, he will let us live without him in eternity. And you'll be lost forever. There's an eternal consequence. And if you're lost and away from God, you don't want to wait to get reconnected. You don't want to wait for Him to save you. You don't want to wait because you never know when your time will be up. Next, the child came to restore you. He came to restore you. The fact is, you need Jesus to restore what is lost. Restoration, here's the definition. The returning of something to someone to their original state through the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, both humanity and creation will eventually be restored. Psalm 23, you've probably heard this psalm. Verse 3, it says, He restores my soul. Now, there was another parable that Jesus talked about. It was the parable of the lost coin. And he talks about this in Luke chapter 15. It's a coin that was lost. And it says here in chapter 15, verse 8, Or suppose a woman has 10 silver coins and loses one. Won't she light a lamp and sweep the entire house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she finds it, she will call in her friends and neighbors and say, Rejoice with me because I have found my lost coin. Now, in those days when they had a home, the home had no linoleum. You may not realize this, but in those days they did not have linoleum. And in fact, most homes didn't even have any tile or carpet. They had dirt, and then they put hay on top of the dirt. So when she was looking for that coin, she had to sweep through all this hay until it got to the dirt and try to find it in the dirt where this coin might be. Now, that is what Jesus came to do. Whether you've lost your confidence, your hope, your reputation, your innocence, Jesus came to earth as a little baby so that he could recover you, like the woman recovered her coin. Sometimes we find that we're our own worst enemy. Have anybody discovered that? Sometimes you're your own worst enemy. See, it's your reactions, your fears, your inadequacies that cause you to do foolish things. Sometimes I just need to be saved for myself. Because there's things about me I wish I had never done. I wish they would have never happened. But I can't change them. At least not on my own power. I need an outside power to restore me. Now you may think in your heart, well, I can change. But I hate to say this, you can't. When January 1st comes and you've got your list of all the new things you're going to do, probably by January 15, you have thrown the list away. Because the reality is that you can't change yourself. You need someone who has the power to save you, to change you. You need a Savior. In Romans chapter 7, it says this, I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Now, isn't that the real question? Can anybody do something for me? Well, with him, with this child, with Jesus, he can restore your life. That's the next thing. He can restore your life. Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 says this, Are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion, come to me, get away with me, and you'll receive your life. Now, only Jesus can do that. You are dependent on him. No one else. You can't say, I'm going to let the government do it for me. You can't let your family. The family won't be able to do it for you. Or some other person to restore your life. They can't do that. They don't have the power. The fact is that your Savior was put on the cross and died so that he could restore what was lost. Jesus came for the whole world, even the creation itself, to restore it back to what it should be. You know, some of you feel like, I have things in my life that make it so that I'll never be the same. Well, that's possible. That's probably true. But the things that you lose, God can restore. If not here now, in the future. He will restore everything. Now, here's a couple things to remember about that coin that was lost and was restored. The coin didn't know that it was lost. That's the first thing. And a lot of times, people don't realize that they're lost. They think they're okay. And the next thing is the coin didn't find itself. It had to have someone look for it. It'd be ridiculous to say the coin found itself because it can't do that. Same with you. You cannot be found by yourself. You have to have someone who can find you, someone who's looking for you. And we know that Jesus came to seek you. He is seeking you. He is following you. He's after you. What do you need to do? You need to say, I want to be found. Find me. And you will be found. And you won't be lost anymore. And God will start to restore things in your life that you thought you could never get back. See, if you could restore everything, then you wouldn't have needed Jesus coming to the earth. Now think about all these things that we talked about this morning. I want you to take them with you, these notes, and look at them. Because see, Jesus is not the baby. Jesus is the Son of God who has come in the form of a human being, but he is God in the flesh, and he is the source, he is the Savior, he is the reconciler, he is the one who restores everything, he recovers everything, he is the one that can make your life whole again. And let God's gift come into your life this season. Even if you're a believer, you think, well, I'm okay, but you need to be reacquainted with the Savior. There are things in your life that need to be restored, recovered, removed, rescued from. Let Jesus be for you all those things that you need. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you this morning for your Son, and we celebrate him this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the wonderful gift of Jesus Christ. We pray now, Lord, that you would reveal yourself in these ways that we have talked about, and may we reach out to you for the Savior of the world to change us and make us into the people that we've always wanted to be and have been destined by you to be. I thank you and pray these things in your name. Amen.